I see we, amongst us today, we are joined by Honorable Jafta. Welcome, Honorable Jafta, to the committee. I know that you are not partially out of you are not partially out of the issue. I think there's a problem with my trying to sort out my. So as I say that you are not partially new, you have been part of the old section of this committee. I also have to acknowledge the presence of the minister. I'm sure Honorable Jafta and the minister is a different reunion that you are in here today. Before I do any further issues, I know that we are meeting just after the SONA activities, which are still continuing to date. Are there any apologies?
Good morning, honorable members and our honorable guests. Chair, there are no apologies received from the Secretariat. Thank you.
I'm talking to myself again. Thank you very much for that. Can I now Ari, maybe I should have done this for many of the meetings. Can you flag the agenda for this meeting, please? So that members don't get surprised towards the end. Is it possible, Ari?
You can do that, Chair. Just give me a second, Chair.
Please.
There we go, Chair.
Yes, as you see, honorable members, we've already done with the apologies as well as the preceded by the welcoming remarks. Then we will have the presentation by the DMRE on the first, second, and third quarter, and then we'll deal with questions of clarity. You don't have to take the whole hour, DMRE. We will then have the responses. Then we will have the presentation on the implementation plans. And then we will have the questions and clarity seeking or comments. After that, we'll have the follow-up, and then we'll have the consideration of the minutes. And then we will adjourn the meeting after we've done with the minutes. Can I give to the team from DMR, Honorable Minister?
Recording in progress.
I know that you are leading the delegation. Can I give it to you and then you will give to your team? Thank you very much.
Chairperson,
Yebo.
Yes, Chair. Maybe
that's Honorable Langa. Yes.
That's correct, Chairperson. Yes, greetings, everyone, Chair. Maybe before the minister comes in, having noted the agenda, I'll also like to remind you maybe that we, I think the sitting starts at 2 o'clock, you know, and we will have to do, some of us have to do some traveling as well. So I note that the agenda, as per the agenda, it says your vote of thanks will be at about 1 o'clock. So some of us, because we are traveling and we are in the meeting from different sites, so maybe if it extends to 1 o'clock, we might have to leave the meeting a bit early before it finishes. Just for noting, Chairperson. Thank you.
Okay, I see the hand of Honorable Volbarans. Babu Voli.
Chair.
I see your hand.
Yes, sir. Greetings to yourself and the members who are on the platform and the department. So, is Chair, I'm just, I actually am covered by Honorable Langa because I also looked at the agenda and the time and the traveling that is associated with. And if we could try to curtail it so that we be in a position to travel for the sitting chair. Thanks.
It's because the department is starting at 10 past 10. Let's make it like this, honorable members. I know we've got a capable skill. Can I give the department, DMR, you will take us, including the implementation plans, you will take us up until 10:30. You will make the complete presentation, take us up to 10:30. We are capable of taking notes. We will then, questions of clarity will first start on the first, second, and third quarter, and then we'll take the second group of questions of clarity on the implementation plan. Can I give you, Honorable Minister, up until 10:30, the entire presentation, which will include now the implementation plan of the audit outcomes. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Zipo.
Mbonile SG Jafta, go to point.
I'm here with Jafta, It was a motion meeting. The whip, Honorable Mashaole, honorable members, thank you very much for inviting us here. I must explain that the DG is not here today. We've sent him to Congo Brazzaville to do government business. Today, Tshidiso Maqubela will lead the team, and I will give him time to do so, briefing the portfolio committee on the quarterly performance reports for 2021-22, first, second, and third quarter. And a summary of all those is in the presentation itself. I'll give him the opportunity to run with it, and we'll deal with the questions. Thank you very much. And I agree that we should be allowed to move in and out. You remember, Honorable Lusipo, that I'm discussing today. Yesterday, I was sent to the naughty corner repeatedly. You know, a naughty corner in Model C schools. You get sent to the naughty corner. I was sent to the naughty corner repeatedly yesterday. So please allow me to move in and out and refine the responses for today. Nerema Kruger.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. Good morning, Minister, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, chairpersons of state-owned entities that are here, as well as CEOs, Team DMRE, the staff of the Portfolio Committee, and guests of the Portfolio Committee. Good morning. As Minister has indicated, we are going to be taking the committee through the three quarters, as well as the update on the implementation of the AG's findings. I think by way of introduction, what I can say is that the presentations are straightforward and fairly brief. What we bring to the Portfolio Committee is a mixed bag of results. We believe that this year, the performance of the department has improved in comparison to the same time last year, partly because the pandemic did not this year impact negatively on performance as it did in the previous financial year. Secondly, we also bring to the committee some disappointments that we've had in the year, in the first three quarters of the year. One of those being that we saw an uptick in the loss of lives in our mines, and that is a matter that we're seized with currently to make sure that that situation is turned around. We will elaborate on that, but also what we saw, which we are also working on, is the fact that in as far as the filling of vacancies are concerned, because of the elaborate process of vetting of both qualifications and security, we've tended to take longer in terms of filling those posts. The last one, before I hand over to Mr. Mulaudzu, who will run through the presentation, is the disappointment that we still have on the fact that we would have liked the solar water heater program to move faster. But what I can indicate is that we've now put in place a plan which we are confident is going to turn around the situation. There's been a change of personnel in that regard, and we can expand on it later on during questions and answers. With that, Chairperson, I'd like Mr. Mulaudzu to go through the presentation. You would note, Chairperson, that the presentation is fairly brief. We've put all the other information as annexures for the Portfolio Committee members to go through. This is both for this presentation as well as the one on the AG's finding. When Mr. Mulaudzu finishes with the performance information, the CFO will take us through the financials. With your permission, Chair, I'd like to hand over then to Mr. Mulaudzu. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Acting DG, Chairperson of the PC, Minister, and Honorable Members. That is the presentation outline, which I will skip. Next slide. Here, Chairperson, you can see there we're still executing our operations, our functions with those six branches. And that in terms of Q1, you can see there at the bottom where it says total, we had a total of 59 targets for Q1. Now the green bar is giving us the targets that we would have achieved. Out of 59 targets for Q1, we managed to achieve 40, which is 68%. We partialed 13, which is 22%, and could not achieve 6, which is 10%. When we move to Q2, at the bottom there, you can see there's 70. That indicates the number of targets which we had for Q2. We were able to achieve 47 out of 70, 67%, partialed 8, which is 12, could not achieve 15, which is 21%. Going further to Q3, we had a total of 67 targets. We managed to accomplish 43, which is 64%. We partialed 9, 14, and could not achieve 15, which is 22%. Next slide. This slide is showing you a further execution or performance of the department in a different format. The green bar relates to achieved, the yellow bar talks to partially achieved, and the red bar indicates the not achieved. So you can see that it talks to the one that I presented before. 10,000 households were electrified with grid. Preferred bidder for independent power producers were announced by the minister. A report on energy efficiency demand side program was submitted by municipalities. We also have produced a report on energy related climate change. And then that one was a 5 carbon offset project were approved. A report on greenhouse gas assessment reporting framework was done. And then a report on indicators underpinning the development of just transition was also produced. 1,508 jobs were created through the issuing of mining rights. 13 black industrialists were created through the mining. A total of 352 license applications were processed. There was 329, which is 91% compliance with respect to 50% historically disadvantaged South African who participated. 37 mining rights and permits were issued to historically disadvantaged control entities. A report on the monitoring of Kuiberg plant life extension was also developed, produced. 70 nuclear authorization applications were processed. 5 nuclear safeguard and 3 nuclear security applications were approved. A total of 11 accident-initiated investigations and 12 were completed from April to June. Out of 239 invoices received, 224, which is 94% invoices, were paid within 30 days. A report in terms of the implementation of the fraud prevention plan within the department was produced, and one quarterly report that details the implementation of the 2019-24 MTSF priorities was also produced. A draft Mine Health and Safety Amendment Bill could not be submitted to Cabinet due to challenges with information on publications. There were delays in recruitment of procurement processes, which affected the achievement of some of the targets, such as planning philosophy and associate targets, such as the gas master plan. Regarding the report on renewable energy sector master plan, the inception report on the development of the master plan has been produced and approved. Delays by branches in verifying and signing off invoices, which affected the 100% payment of suppliers, it's something that the department is dealing with because it's a dependency. It's from one person to the next, but it's something that EXCO and other structures within the department are dealing with to ensure that we achieve that 100%. Some of the limited activities in terms of the partially and not achieved target were based on the shortfalls that are being put to eradicate backlogs, especially in Mpumalanga. There were 15 fatalities from April to June, compared to 9 fatalities in the same period. More inspections, audits, tripartite meetings, and meetings with mining executives will be conducted in the next quarters to combat fatalities. No incidents of wasteful, fruitless expenditure were reported during the quarter under review, and no reported irregular transactions for the current financial year were occurred. No reported cases of fraud and corruption during the period under review. A cumulative figure of 4,127 jobs to be created was achieved. The number of SLP development projects completed for the quarter, that is the second quarter, is 34. Total number of licenses processed, 304, number of licenses with 50% and greater HDSA participation was 284, which translates into 93.4 compliance in terms of percentage. The Clean Fuels 2 regulations that was developed for promulgation. That also includes the biofuel mandatory blending regulations, which was developed for promulgation, and the LPG strategy was approved and published. A draft National Petroleum Company Bill was developed and submitted to Cabinet for approval. A report on stakeholder consultation with respect to the greenhouse gas assessment and reporting framework was completed, produced. The draft energy statistics report was done. A total of 261 accident-initiated investigations were completed from April to September. RFP in terms of 2,600 megawatts for renewable energy, that is bid window 6 issued. We also produced a report on the consultation with municipalities for energy consumption baselines in terms of the energy efficiency demand side management plans. 7,034 households connected to non-grid. That is second quarter. A report with respect to 29,687 households were connected to grid, through grid. We also produced a report on the monitoring of the Kuberg. It's the same as in Q1. 41 nuclear authorization applications were received, 41 process, and then 31 met the turnaround time, whereas 10 did not meet the turnaround time. The performance is 75%. 10 nuclear compliance safeguard inspections done, and 5 nuclear security compliance inspections were also approved. 9 out of 11 quarterly reports were finalized and submitted for approval. Those are the quarterly reports in terms of the SOEs. And that only 2, which is SEF and NEXA reports, still require some analysis and more diligence, and hence the delay. But management are working on that. 7 out of 10 entities' annual reports were tabled in Parliament, and that those that are outstanding is because the report, the AG is still busy with the audits. There is no report on the number of black industrialists in this quarter. This information is in the process of being done and verified. The number of legal compliance inspections conducted for the quarter is 29, and that the cash-up plan is in place for Q3 and 4. 233 retail site inspections were done this quarter, and that 319 was partially achieved with a shortfall of 4. Next slide. The number of legal compliance inspections is 29, and that the quarterly target of 37 was partially achieved, resulting in a shortfall of 8, and no fuel samples were tested during the quarter. Delays due to further consultation with the main stakeholder affected us in terms of the NERA bill. There was a request to prioritize electricity pricing policy with respect to the ERA bill. There were delays in finalizing external stakeholder consultation for the draft beneficiation master plan. And regarding the radioactive waste management bill, the bill had to be redrafted to reflect ministerial cluster recommendations. There were 26 fatalities from April to September.
Sorry, can the senator from DMRE switch off your mic, please? It's disturbing. Whatever is next to senator, can you tell him? Mukwena, to switch off the mic, it's disturbing. Okay, continue, Laos.
Thank you, Chair. There were 26 fatalities from April to September compared to 23 in the same period in the previous financial year. There were 1,005 injuries from April to September compared to 690 injuries in the same period in the previous financial year. The number of legal compliance inspections conducted for the quarter is, next slide please. A total of 615 occupational diseases were reported compared to 293 cases in the same period. 4,000 inspections and audits were conducted in the first and second quarters instead of 4,198. The RFP for 513 megawatts storage was not issued. This was because to the necessity to review the timelines and taking into account the request from potential bidders. Next slide. The Schedule 3 SOEs first draft APPs have been reviewed, and then submission to the Minister for approval will occur during this month of February. Once the final drafts are concluded, they will be submitted to the Minister. Out of 411 invoices, that is 497%, were paid within 30 days, and only 11 were paid after 30 days. We produce a report with detailed implementation on the fraud prevention plan. A total of 726 jobs were created through issuing of mining rights. A number of jobs to be created through petroleum license is 1,188. The total number of jobs to be created for Q4 is 1,914, with a cumulative figure of 6,041. There were 30 SLPs developed projects that were completed during this quarter, that is third quarter, Chair, with a cumulative figure of 92. 5 black industrialists were created through the mining charter with a cumulative figure of 18. A total of 332 environmental inspections were done during this quarter with a cumulative figure of 971. A total of 147 retail site inspections were conducted with a cumulative figure of 980. A total of 162 fuel samples were tested. 60 mining rights and permits were issued to historically disadvantaged South Africans, and meaning to controlled entities, with a cumulative figure of 146. The following stakeholder consultation reports were produced, that is in respect of Clean Fuels 2 regulations, which was developed for promulgation, biofuel mandatory blending regulations, which was developed for promulgation, and the LPG strategy was approved together with the Just Transition Plan. A draft National Petroleum Company Bill has been completed. The department also participated in 4 conferences. You can see the chair is Dubai Expo, the World Bank Energy Storage for Southern African Collaboration with MINTEC, China Mining Conference, and Energy and Africa Energy. A total of 445 accident-initiated investigations completed from April to December. A total of 35 accident-initiated investigations and 33 were completed from April to December. 0.4879 terawatt per hour savings were realized as a result of projects implemented through the energy efficiency demand site management grant by municipalities. A report on the monitoring of Kuiberg plant life extension was produced. 10 shafts were sealed off. 63 nuclear authorization applications received, and that 63 were processed and approved, while 53, which is 84%, met the turnaround time. Only 10 could not meet the turnaround time, and the 10 nuclear safeguard compliance inspections reports were also done and approved. and 5 nuclear security compliance inspections were produced. Stakeholder consultation on community relocations were done. Were not done. This was based on the fact that at the time, the municipalities were busy with elections, and the other factor is the COVID lockdown restrictions. Progress report on the implementation of interventions on analysis and support of Bujanala District Development, this is the DDM, was not done, and that there are interventions that are being proposed which will enable the department to engage with the stakeholders. Approved beneficiation master plan was not finalized simply because there were still consultations to be held, and that this document will be finalized and submitted to cabinet during the course of this month. The radio waste management fund bill was delayed due to the redrafting owing to a ministerial directive not to establish the public, to establish the public entity. The two bulletins, which is the one, the mineral bulletin, and the second one, the energy bulletin, were not produced due to lack of subscriptions to enable research. There were 55, that is 31% fatalities from April to December compared to 42 in the same period. There were 1,612 injuries from April to December compared to 1,287 in the same period. During April to December 2021, a total of 1,023 occupational diseases were reported compared to 767 in the same period. 19,545 houses were electrified through non-grid from the 2020 rollover. The SLA for the current financial years were concluded in November. Additional 28,749 households were connected. Most of the contractors closed early in December, otherwise we could have achieved more. In terms of reference for the appointment of a service provider to develop the procurement framework for the 2.5 megawatts nuclear program have been approved by the bid adjudication committee. Next slide. Chairperson, this is the area for finance. I will get guidance from yourself and from the DG in terms of the CFO proceeding, or I proceed with the AG progress status.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thanks, Mr. Mulau. The CFO will go through the financial performance. Ms. Chetty, the permission of the chair.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister, Acting DG, colleagues. I'll present Q1 to Q3. Financial performance in the 31 December 2021. Slide one on the screen at the moment is the budget. The first column is 9.2 billion is the budget for the full financial year for all those programs. The year-to-date budget is the budget as at 31 December 2021. Actual year-to-date is meaning all the actual expenditure at 31st of December 2021. So the budget at 31st of December was 7.4 billion. We spent 6.9 billion. We have a year-to-date variance of 482.1 million, meaning an underspend of 482.1 million. Administration contributes to 80 million. Minerals and petroleum regulation, 19.8 million underspend. Mining, minerals and energy policy development, 41.6 million underspent. Mine health and safety inspectorate, 25.4 million underspent. Programs and projects, 308.3 million underspent. Nuclear energy regulation and management, 6.8 million underspent. And I'll provide the reasons in the slides that follow. Next slide, please. Chairperson, the very same 482.1 million that was underspent, which I have shown in the previous slide by program, now it is by economic classification. Contributing to the 482.1 million underspent is compensation of employees of 56.8 million underspent. And I will provide the reasons in the slides that follow. Goods and services, 80.6 million underspent. Transfers and subsidies, 328.3 million underspent. And I will go through all the details in the slides that follow, Chairperson. Next slide, please. Chair, for the 56 million under compensation of employees that was underspent, it is mainly due to the filling of funded positions. I think the acting DG did in his opening remarks make some comments about the compensation of employees and the delays that we had experienced in the department. And as at 31st of December, we had 1,432 permanent employees, 17 employees additional to the establishment. This is as a result of the NMOC process. The department also employed 119 interns that were appointed additional to the establishment for the same period. At 31st of December, we had 168 vacant positions, of which 102 has been advertised. Chair, I would also like to comment. We had a recent communication by the Minister of Finance that SMS members will have a salary adjustment. And I think this salary adjustment will be processed centrally by National Treasury. And we're hoping that this adjustment will take place before 31st of March 2022, which will help reduce the overspend as well. The next category is goods and services, which we were underspent by 80.6 million, which is about 16.8% of the goods and services budget. Chair and members, in the main contributors is due to the pandemic and the staggered attendance to the office, working from home arrangements. Many of the office supplies have also been underspent. Travel has also been underspent due to the limitations placed on travel. And however, in January, we had a little bit of an increase in the spending patterns. A lot of the expenditure that was outstanding is now being brought up to date. We're hoping to see this overspend go down in the months as we lead up to the year end. Next slide, please. Under goods and services, there's also an underspending in courier services, printing, publication services, professional membership fees, storage of departmental records. And this in the main chair, it was due to the employees there in terms of the department incentive policy resettlement cost for employees was 9.26 million, lower than anticipated. Agency and support services, 8.52 million underspend. This chairperson, the process, and it's around solar water heating. The process to procure additional installation kits is taking longer than anticipated. Additional kits are required as the solar water unit supplied by the manufacturers and the associated components and the current building standards are not in sync. So it had a delay that we have experienced in this program. Training and development had an underspending of 7.6 million due to the delayed implementation of training programs, lockdown limitations placed on the number of attendees during the first and second quarters of the financial year. And I have to also point out, Chair, that some of the manufacturers are not cooperating on the product-specific training in line with the supply agreement. Amongst others, there are minor assets, consumable supplies, that's also underspent. Next slide, please. As much as there is underspending members and chair, there's also overspending in some areas. And audit and legal services are overspent by 2.7 million and 8 million, respectively due to the extension of the 2021 financial year audit that was higher than anticipated. for legal representation relating to the MPRDA applications and disputes declared by the solar water heater services providers. But towards the year end, Chair, we will look at all the understanding that has occurred across all line items, and final viament is done at 31st of March 2022 to clear any overspending. Operating leases, this has an historic under budgeting, mainly for private leases, and we have overspending by 4.76 million. However, a viament of 31 million has been approved, and this funding gap will be closed, and we will have this rectified by February 2022. Next slide, please. Chair, under transfers, we have the biggest underspend, and in the main, Chair, it is due to a timing. INAP municipal grant, 159.2 million underspent due to the pending regazetting approval from Treasury. Yes, Chairperson, when municipalities have been identified as they don't deliver, maybe slow delivery or reports are not received timely, the department does reconcile what is being transferred to the deliverables that were actually meant to be received. If these are not moving according to plan, the department does look at reallocating these funds, and the regazetting through Treasury is expected to be done. INAP non-grid households, 11 million underspending. It was due to the finalization of the procurement processes. I can confirm, Chair, this has now been rectified. International membership fees, 344,000 overspending. It's mainly due to forex differences. Employee social benefits, 3.83 million overspending due to an increase in leave gratuity payments because of the increased service terminations and higher than anticipated leave liability payable to ex-staff members. Energy efficiency and demand side management municipal grants, 10.5 million underspending due to the pending approval of reallocation of funds between municipalities. So there's a regazetting process there as well. Management of water ingress at mines, 5.42 million underspent. It's awaiting an approval internally, and this will be done in February 2022. Energy and water sector, energy and training authority, 1.2 million underspending. That was due to a delay in the release of funds planned for the distribution to CETAS. Next slide, please. Chairperson and members, the budget at 31st of December was 1.8 billion to all our entities that fall within our portfolio at DMRE. The expenditure at 31st of December was 1.7 billion. We have an underspending of 145 million. Chair, I just want to explain here, as much as you see it's an underspending for Council for Geoscience of 50.8 million, Mintech 72.1 million, PASA 22.1 million, it is indeed not an underspending. It is just an alignment of the budget. We are going to take the budget from the transfer category and move it to goods and services. All these entities are spending their money. And if you can move to the next slide, please. For Council of Geosciences, it's 50.8 million. This is for mine rehabilitation and water ingress projects. PASA 22.1 million for shale gas project. Mintech for the rehabilitation of ownerless and derelict mines at 72.1 million. All of these entities are spending their funding on a monthly basis. However, they spend it under the category of goods and services. It's just the alignment of the budget that needs to take place and which will be corrected in the month of February. So come 31 March 2022, when we close off the financial year, this will not be the case. You will see all entities' budget and the transfers will be in sync. Chairperson and members, I've reached the end of my presentation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, CFO and Mr. Mulaudzi. Chair, with your permission, we will now move on to the presentation the next presentation as guided by the chair to give the committee a status of implementation of AG's findings. In the next presentation, we also have 10 slides. Mr. Mlaotsi will go through that, Chair. I just want to indicate, Chair, that the focus that the committee has placed on this is also helping in terms of improving audit outcomes, but also the focus on improving performance in the both the department as well as the entities. We've seen improvement, Chair. One example I would want to single out is that as much as the on the entities, we see that Nexa sits with 63 findings. Chair, this is a huge improvement from the 161 in the previous 2019-20 financial year. So I think that the focus on improving governance, I think, is beginning to pay dividends. It's work in progress, but we will be able to explain ourselves, Chair, during questions and answer time. Now I'd like to hand over to Mr. Mlaotsi to take us through the presentation.
Thank you, Acting DG, Chairperson. Next slide. Here, Chair, is the summary of the audit outcomes in terms of those three consecutive years. You will see that the MRE 2021, the audit outcome was unqualified with findings. And then if you go back 2019-20, as well as the other year, is still the same. Next slide. These are the summary of findings in terms of the areas which required attention, which I'm not going to read now. Next slide. These were the financial viability. I just want to go to the slide that shows progress in terms of what we have done. Next slide. Yeah. On this one, Chairperson and honorable members, you can see there that the total number of findings were 68. Now, in terms of those 68 findings, we managed to finalize to implement 51. And that there's 12 which are in progress. Management is working tirelessly to mitigate those risks in terms of improving the control environment. We also have 5 findings that are not yet due. Not yet due, Chair, means to say that we made an agreement with Auditor General to say, as much as we are working on the resolution of these findings by improving the controls, the due date for us is as at, it will be on the 31st of March, meaning at the end of the financial year. You can see there, Chair, that there is no finding that was falling within the months up to this month, which have not been implemented. All of them have been done. Next slide. Now, Chair, here we've got entities that are reporting to the department, 11 of them. Those are the names of all the entities that are reporting to the minister. And that the next slide will show the extent in which each of these entities have dealt with the findings from AGSA. Now, they are categorized into these 4 groups: the research, mining, energy, and regulator. Those are their names. Next slide. Now, in terms of the audit outcome, you can see with the different colors and the name of the particular entity that is located there. The green means clean audit. The yellow, it's a category of unqualified with findings. You can see the names CGS, MinTech, NERSA, and etc. And then the red indicates that there's a disclaimer there, whereas the blue is talking to the outstanding audit. Now, in terms of these bars, these colors, we can see that NRADI has received a consecutive clean audit. In other words, their governance was clean. And that the South African Diamond and Precious Metals Regulator regressed from a clean audit of 2019-20 to an unqualified in 2020-21. And then when we move further, we'll see that the Nexa Group received another disclaimer while SEF Group audits are still being done. In other words, they are outstanding. AG is still working with the audits. Next slide. Now, this one, it gives you the categories in terms of the entities that have been audited. Of the 10 AG audited entities, three of them, which is Enroadi, and then you have the State Diamond Trader and Saneri, had no material errors. You move to the next circle, which is the yellow one. There we are saying six of these entities had material misstatements, which were subsequently corrected. However, Nexa and the South African Diamond and Precious Metal Regulator, as well as the State Diamond Trader, corrected some of the material findings, but we'll see that as we go to the next slide. The last one is an entity that's got the disclaimer, which is Nexa. Now, this is a summary of all our entities in terms of, the audit outcomes. We will start with CGS, but in terms of the the columns up there, we've got the not yet due, meaning that we still have time up to the end of March to resolve the finding. And then the second column resolved, meaning work has been done, completed, the controls have been improved. Partially resolved, it means management is working in terms of improving the controls business operation in the control environment. Unresolved means the finding has slightly went beyond the time that was stipulated. So in terms of CGS had five findings, and that in terms of progress up to this far, they managed to partially resolve two and they are working on the three. Mine Health and Safety Council, they had 43 findings. They managed to resolve 24. They are still working on the 19. MinTech had 44 findings. They resolved 25, they are resolving the outstanding 19, which are partially resolved. Nexa had 63 findings, they have resolved 57, six are unresolved. NERSA had 14 findings, they've resolved 12, they are partially two. And then NNR had 12 findings, four of them are not yet due, six have been resolved, two are partially resolved. And Roadi, they've resolved all their findings. And then the South African Diamond and Precious Metal Regulator had 39 total of findings. They have resolved 11 and they partially resolved 24. The four unresolved, which they'll be working on improving those up to the end of March. Then we have Saneri, who has 12 findings. They've resolved nine and then partially resolved three. The State Diamond Trader had 21 findings. They've resolved 19 and partially resolved two. Now, at the bottom there, you can see that the not yet due findings in terms of all the SOEs, it's four. The resolved in total is 167. The partially resolved is 73, and that the unresolved is 13, which then gives us the total cumulatively of 257. Now, in terms of the percentage-wise, the unresolved is 2%, and then the resolved is 65%. partially resolved 28%, unresolved 5%. Next slide. Oh, thank you very much, Chair. That is the end of the presentation.
Thank you very much, Head of Strategy and Risk, Mr. Mulaudzi. Also, thanks to the CFO for the presentation. Chairperson, this brings us to the end of our presentation. We hope we have kept to the time, but I want to indicate, Chair, that there is hard work that is being done under the leadership of the various boards of our state-owned entities. And I think the improvement that you see, even in the completion or resolving of some of those audit findings, is testimony to the kind of leadership we are now having. But we also appreciate, you know, the encouragement in the form of having to account to this committee, because it keeps us, all of us, on our toes. And we do expect better audit outcomes at the end of this financial year. With that, Chair, would want to thank the committee and hand over back to you, Chair. Thank you.
It happens from time to time. That is the full account of the department, and that I'm handing over to you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Honorable Minister. Thank you, Babu Makubela. And Mr. Mlaudzi with the presentations that we have received. Honorable members, can we go to, let's start first, and you did it on record time. I can see. We will try though and do justice. You finished both on absolutely even beyond the time of the first presentation. Honorable members, can we go to the first, second, and third quarter reports? Let me see, are there any hands? I see the hands of Honorable Mailam, Honorable Malinga, I see Honorable Mashaule. Is there any other hands? I see Honorable Matogwe. Okay, I assume. Can we do it like this way? It will be Honorable Mailem, it will be Honorable Malinga, it will be Honorable Matogwe, it will then be Honorable Mashauli.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Chair, Minister, and
Honorable. We are only for now dealing with the first, second, and third quarter. We'll go to the implementation plans.
Okay, thanks, Chair. Yeah. Good morning, everybody, and I apologize for not putting my video on. My bandwidth is a bit dodgy. I just want to get some clarity. In the first, second, and third quarter report, there's mention, Mr. Mulaudzi, about the cleaner fuel standards, but no mention of the IMO 2020 standards to which we are a signatory. And can you please advise what progress is being made to roll out that that standard in South Africa? Then you also talk about 63 nuclear authorizations. Can you give us some detail? What are those nuclear authorizations? What does that entail? I'd like some clarity as to exactly what is involved there. The third thing that I've got here is that there is absolutely no mention in this report of the RMIPP program, nor of the continued delays in meeting financial close on that program. And I'm curious as to why that has not been included in the performance report. And then my last question with regard to the performance report is, it appears, and I could be completely wrong here, but I'd like your advice. It appears that the targets from, for example, quarter one that are not achieved don't get rolled over into quarter two or quarter three. Some of them have cumulative targets, but others just seem to fall off the report card in quarter two and quarter three, even though they were not achieved way back in quarter one or quarter two. Could I get some clarity on that, please? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to yourself, the Minister, members of the Portfolio Committee, CEOs and CFOs and COOs of the entities on the platform, the staff of the department as led by DDG Makubela, our committee staff, and everybody else who's on the platform. Molo Tatumandash. Chair, let me welcome the presentation given by Mr. Mlawuzi and the CFO. And now, Chair, mine is only on MHSC. When one division that we know to be doing very well will start to falter, we really, really get worried. Chairperson, I've seen the spike in the fatalities in mines. So I just wanted to check, Guti, what are the mitigation strategies for MHCs to cap the further fatalities in the mining sector? Chairperson, I am also worried about the transfer understanding. I read somewhere that the accounting officer has not signed out to the SOEs. So I don't understand what's the hold up to put the signature there. And Chairperson, I'm now confused that the CFO has written underspent, but she explains this as alignment of the budget. So are they underspending or are they aligning the budget? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and to the previous speakers. I'd also like to extend my greetings to everyone that's in the meeting. I think Honorable Malinga has partially covered me on the issue of fatalities. But I'm also interested in that there's also a spike in occupational diseases as well. And my interest as well is on the fact that what are those increases, both on fatalities and occupational diseases, attributed to? What is the cause? Why do we now have a spike? And what are then the mitigating factors that the department has in place? And then my second question, I think it's rather a request on some of the steps that we've received in terms of, for instance, the issuing of mining licenses, the issuing of mining rights. If you could also just maybe get like proportions now that you've issued so much, what is the proportion vis-a-vis the backlog that was there before? What is the progress that we're making proportionally? And then on the issue of environmental inspections and also tail site inspections, is it possible to sort of like get an understanding in terms of what are the overall outcomes that perhaps would be of interest to the committee? And what has been the responses, or rather the mitigating factors of some of the worrying outcomes that have been there? Because we do get stats that inspections were done, but we're not really sure what the outcomes were. And then I think on the issue of unresolved findings as well, do we have timelines and also partially resolved findings? Do we have a timeline as to when exactly those would be completed, and what would be the implications for the accounting officers should those targets not be met? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to yourself. Greetings to the Minister and Deputy Minister, members of the committee, Team GMRE led by Mr. Makubela and the staff of Parliament. I had six questions, Chair. One was on fatalities, injuries, and occupational diseases, but I think Honorable Malinga and Madokwe have covered that. So I will go to the one on employee social benefits. The leave liability payable to ex-staff members was one of the components that has resulted in overspending on employee social benefits. Now, does this leave liability cover the ex-staff members who may have left the department to avoid the consequence management of the forensic investigations that were conducted over time, and this would apply for previous financial years? That is the first question that I want to pose, Chair. The second question, Chair, will be on Integrated National Electricity Program, non-grid households. And as you know, the non-grid electrification program is an interim solution, not a permanent one, for energy injustice in remote rural areas where we come from. And as a result, it should be rolled out without interruptions. But what we have seen, ironically, is that there has been underspending of about 11 million on this program due to the delayed finalization of procurement processes, at times contractual issues, and so forth. What is the department doing to overcome these delays, especially with regards to procurement processes, given its the importance and the magnitude of this program in trying to resolve the energy injustice that we are seeing in our country? The third question, Chair, will be on solar water heater geysers. I can't not ask any question on this one. The procurement of this much spoken about installation materials of solar water heater geysers is partly responsible for the underspending of about 8.5 million on agency and support services. And the rollout of solar water heater geysers proves to be a very daunting challenge to the department. Is there any robust plan intended to address this? The operative word there will be robust, because there has been plans that we have been told, but still we're having the same problem. The operative word that I must hear something robust that the department is planning to do about this problem. The fourth issue will be on the procurement framework for nuclear program. The country's energy availability factor is below 64%, and additional capacity for nuclear power has the potential to increase this worrying percentage. How will the department expand the nuclear power program at the pace and scale that respond to the growing electricity demand. I want the department to try and demystify or prove to be correct this issue around nuclear as a non-solution to our energy problem. There is a growing tendency to want to take nuclear as a solution out of the energy mix of our country. It's either you confirm that it's true, those issues raised by those opposed to nuclear, or you give us a clear indication of whether the country can afford to go that route to resolve our energy crisis. The last one, Chair, will be on compensation of employees. You see, the underspending on compensation of employees is mainly attributed to delays in filling vacant funded positions. Now, what is an optimal level of employees at the department? Just that question. The optimal level of employees at the department, what is it? Chair, thank you very much.
Okay. Mabunkach and your team, there are the questions.
Chair, I would like to give the team opportunity to answer the questions. I will come later. There are a few that I think I will have to add on. But let's give them first to answer the questions. Ramakumar and the team.
Thank you very much, Honorable Minister. And I need to apologize. I had not noted the minister when we finished the presentation. I also want to say good morning to the Honorable Deputy Minister. Minister, the Chair, the DDG Ngwabe will deal with the first question on the cleaner fuel standard. Mr. DDG Mbambo will deal with the nuclear related questions, and then DDG Mbele will deal with the questions related to INEP, the RMI PP, and solar water heaters. And then the CFO will deal with the financial questions. Mr. Mbonambi will deal with the mine health and safety related questions. And when they finish, Chair, I will deal with the issues of, the backlog and environmental outcomes. So in that order, DDG Ngwabe.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, Minister, Deputy Minister, and colleagues. I will take the question posed by Honorable Mailem on the IMO standard. I think the question was, how far are we with the implementation of that? I'm not sure whether that is for this department to answer, because IMO is the International Maritime Organization. And the latest standard they've issued is IMO 2020, which deals with the reduction of sulfur content in marine fuels. However, in our case for the petroleum sector in South Africa, last year we gazetted what we term clean fuels to regulations, which emanate from the prohibition that was pronounced around 2005-06. For the elimination of lead in all fuel grades, petrol grades, as well as the reduction of sulfur content, and that is when we moved from 3,000 to 500 ppm with diesel, and now we've moved to 50, and the new regulations we're saying everyone must match the SAFOL standard at 10 ppm. So that's where we are, and we're continuing with industry since the gazetting of the regulations last year. We're engaging with industry on how do we move towards the achievement of that. Effectively, we're discussing the exact implementation date by the industry, because they do need to put in huge investments into their refineries to be able to meet the required standard in terms of the regulations that we've gathered. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Acting DG Ndamapovela, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Honorable Minister, Honorable DM, Honorable Members of the Committee and colleagues. I'm going to be dealing with a number of questions. The first question was around the RMIPP. The target that we had for the third quarter was, which is December, was to have signed the power purchase agreements. And yes, correctly so, the financial close, which enables the signing of the power purchase agreements, has been delayed a few times. And I think we have communicated that the main reason for that is on the basis of approvals that are outside of the department control. So basically, in terms of the programs that we undertake as a department in terms of procurement of new generation capacity, ESCOM is the buyer. Once the department has announced preferred bidders, we communicate the information to ESCOM, and ESCOM has to undergo its own internal processes to do the approvals. And there were obviously challenges with the approvals on the ESCOM side, as they needed clarity with a number of the issues. And I can report that we have since managed to deal with many of the issues that ESCOM has raised. And as we sit here this morning, we have received correspondence as a department from ESCOM committee to ensure that they do what they have to do on their side to make sure that we meet the latest commitment, which is to reach financial close by the end of the 31st of March. So I can report that as things stands and based on the commitment we got from ESCOM, now we should close this program, as in have financial close in the power purchase agreement signed by the end of this financial year, or within this financial year. And then there was a question on the transfer and the reason being the accounting officer. I think and I assume in trying to minimize the information that goes onto the slides, the information that was transferred to the slide does not cover the full story. What had happened here, what delayed the process, was that we, in line with some of the findings of the AG in terms of our standard operating processes, we had to delay the process of allocating this money to the entities that needed the money to do the pumping of water. First, to put a process in place. So what took time was that we had to develop a new SOP, and that SOP was followed by actually an advert in the newspapers to make sure that the process is transparent and fair and accessible to everybody else. So what took time was that we introduced a phase where basically we had to include a process of public announcement to allow for everyone out there to know that there is fundings that could assist in this regard. So that's what took longer. The part around the accounting officer was at the time of reporting on the third quarter, that process was concluded and we were going through the approvals, the department approvals. So I think it's purely because the story is not in full there. It's not necessarily because there was a delay specifically from the accounting officer. In terms of non-grid, I think the points that were said by the honourable member are true. This is a critical program, and yes, in the 2020-21 financial year, we experienced delays in the appointment of the panel of service providers. But service providers were since appointed, and as reflected, I think under one of the highlights, just in this financial year, using the current budget and the rollover that we got from Treasury, we had a target of 15,000 for this current financial year. We've already concluded over 19,000 installations, and with the additional 11 million, we're expecting to even do beyond the 19,000. The only reason there is a delay is because of the lag that came from 2020-21. The service providers on the panel were still busy with the allocations that were already given to them. Hence, there was a bit of delay. But the allocation has been done, and we are confident that the amount, the 11 million that's in the budget, will be spent in this current financial year. And then the question on solar water heater and the underspending on the agency support services. As the CFO explained, some of the challenges that we've experienced, specifically with the spending on the agency and support services, has to do with part of the program is to train the youth and the locals in terms of the installation of the solar water units. And this training, there is a commitment in the contracts with the suppliers of the solar water heaters that they will cooperate with the department and provide training. And then part of this money is used as a stipend for trainees, and to also pay for logistical costs of the service providers. What has happened is that some of the manufacturers of the solar water geysers have not been cooperating with the department. They've been refusing to do the training because they are demanding a whole lot of other things. And one of the biggest fights between the department and the service providers is that they some of them are refusing to release some of the units and demanding. And because of them refusing to release the units, they claim they are incurring additional storage costs and trying to get additional payments from the department, of which the department is pushing back. What are we doing with this that is radical is that all these service providers, we are taking legal action against them. Fortunately, the contract requires that we go through arbitration first. And all these issues have been, those service providers that are giving us a challenge have been handed over to the senior counsel that's appointed to deal with some of these service providers. And I have to say that some of them, seeing that the department is taking the steps, are actually coming forward and starting to cooperate. So we are seeing some progress in this regard. And in terms of the program as well, one thing that we're doing is to make sure that there is a focus on the program, and we've just concluded a process of recruiting a chief director who will solely focus on making sure that this program is coordinated and all the bottlenecks are unlocked to make sure that we move with speed and we install all the units that have been procured. Chairperson, I will stop here. Thank you.
Thank you, TD Chimbambo.
Thank you very much, Acting DG, Mr. Makuvela, and good morning to the Honorable Minister, the Honorable Chairperson, and the members of the committee, as well as the colleagues in the meeting. I will deal with two questions that were raised. One was raised by the Honorable Member Mylan regarding the nuclear authorization, 63 nuclear authorization. Then the second one would be about the role of nuclear in South Africa, raised by the Honorable Member Mahlauli. Let me first deal with the one for 63 authorizations for nuclear material. I think it's important just to give a perspective to the committee that nuclear technology plays a very important role into the economy of South Africa. However, this technology is highly regulated because as a country, we are a signatory to the Non-Proliferation Treaty. So we have to comply with our international obligations in as far as that treaty is concerned to ensure that the material is used for peaceful purposes and for socio-economic development. Locally, it's also then regulated in terms of the Nuclear Energy Act, Act number 46 of 1999, and also the National Nuclear Regulator Act 47 of 1999. In as far as the Nuclear Energy Act, which is the Act 46 of 1999, it regulates the use and the various applications of nuclear technology. And these ranges from applications in the mining industry, in the petrochemical industry, in the logistic industry, and a number of other applications in the research institutions that utilize this material for various applications. Now, the Act prescribes that no person or institution can be in possession or use the nuclear material without having been issued a written authorization by the Minister of Mineral Resources and Energy. That Section 34, Subsection 1 of the Act, that prescribes that these applications shall then be regulated in a manner that nuclear authorizations shall be issued for various institutions and individuals to possess the nuclear material. Now, there's a department performance standard which we are checking to make sure that our service delivery to the people is efficient. We set the standard that if we receive an application for authorization for acquisition or whatever various applications, that application for the authorization shall be processed and approved within 6 to 8 weeks. So this performance standard, then, we are monitoring on a continuous basis to make sure that nuclear technology and nuclear material makes its contributions to the economy of the country. So that's the reason that the Honorable Member would have noted that we talk about a number of authorizations that have come in and when they were authorized, and to make sure that we meet this target. So that's the reason and the rationale around the nuclear authorization and why we issue them. Then, in as far as the next question is concerned about the question from Honorable Member Mahlauli, it is important just to indicates that nuclear forms an integral part of our energy mix in South Africa. We have the Kuberg nuclear power station that is situated in the Western Cape. That's providing about 5% of the electricity into the grid. I must indicate that it provides clean baseload electricity into the grid. And it is producing one of the cheapest electricity within the Eskom fleet of the power station. The cost of generating electricity from Quebec is 40 cents per kilowatt. That's the cheapest among the fleet of the power station. So this issue of cost as being the inhibiting factor on nuclear power is perhaps been overemphasized, in which case our view is that this technology is affordable. It's got various cost benefits to the country and economic benefits. And we had issued a request for information in June 2020. And the response we received from the market indicated that nuclear power in terms of the cost is comparable with other baseload electricity generation technologies. The added advantage, in as far as nuclear is concerned, is that we're dealing here with a technology that's got a long lead infrastructural development project. The design life of the nuclear power plants, they are designed for up to 60 years, as well as this can be extended for another 20 years. So we're talking about an asset that's got, at the very least, 8 years of economic value that it adds to the power generation. And what happens is that you pay off the asset within 20 years, right? So the return on investment is paid within 20 years. And then the rest of 60 years of the life of the plant becomes a cash cow. So that's the reason that it's very important for nuclear to be part of the energy mix, because it provides very clean, affordable electricity into the public. And also, in terms of our commitment as a country to the Paris Agreement, we have just noted that there is now a global consensus in terms of including gas and nuclear as a sustainable green energy by the European Union Commission, which means now investments can now be targeted towards gas and nuclear as part of critical clean energy technologies that will ensure that globally we achieve the Paris Agreement global objectives to reduce the greenhouse gas emission. And in South Africa, our nuclear energy policy provides that nuclear shall be part of the government strategy to mitigate the impact of climate change. So nuclear plays a pivotal role in the energy system. It provides clean baseload electricity to ensure that as a country we can mitigate against the energy security supply challenges. We require more of nuclear in South Africa, as we will be going for decommissioning large baseloads coming from coal-fired power plants to complement our energy system as well as stability into the grid. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bambo. The CFO.
Thank you, Acting DG. Chairperson and honourable members, there was a question from Honourable Malinga on the transfer that has been delayed. I just want to confirm it was the administrative process that had some delays, but that authorisation by DG has been will be done in the month of February and concluded. The second question was, under transfers, is it an understand or an alignment? Chair, what I tried to explain that it, as much as you see it on face value, it looks like an understanding of the budget. It's just an alignment. The budget needs to be moved. So it's an alignment of the budget that needs to be moved from the transfer category to goods and services. It is not an understanding. The other question was on non-grids in terms of the procurement delays. I just want to respond here, Chairperson, that in the service providers that had responded to this bid, there were compliance issues, and it was on tax affairs that needed to be compliant. We had to afford service providers a certain time to clear up their tax affairs before we can proceed. And another issue on the non-grid households, there appeared to be a collusion amongst two service providers, which required an investigation. Currently, it's with our legal department. So that was part of the reasons for the procurement delays. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, CFO. Mr. Mwanambi, on the mine health and safety issues.
Honorable Chair, honorable members, honorable minister, honorable deputy ministers, acting DG and colleagues, good morning. As the department, we are extremely saddened and disappointed with the recent spike on fatalities and injuries and diseases in the mining sector. This is because over the period of over 10 years, between 2009 and 2019, we have seen a very encouraging improvement on these areas, specifically on fatalities, with about 69% improvement from 167 fatalities in 2009 to 51 fatalities in 2019. However, in 2020, we then started to see some regression, which also has continued even in 2021. One of the things that we have noticed is that falls of grounds, together with transport and mining, are the major contributors of fatalities in the sector. And also, we have noted that in these past 2 years, we have seen an increase in the number of miscellaneous type of accidents. These are accidents that you will find that a miner will collapse underground, and when you do your investigation, you don't really realize what might have been the cause, and the post-mortem certificates will then indicate that some of these issues were either associated with health issues of a particular individual. So we have seen an increase also on these miscellaneous accidents over these past 2 years. However, in terms of what as the department we have done after realizing that this regression is not really improving for the past 2 years, because in 2020 we had around 16 fatalities that were reported. And unfortunately, when we closed 2021, these numbers also rise to above 70. Before we ended 2021, the department had convened a summit, a mine safety summit with all the stakeholders in the sector, so that we can be able to raise this concern that we are seeing and also establish what might be the cause. Since over the years, we thought we were really on the right track in as far as these issues are concerned. One thing that we have identified is that with the commencement of COVID, there was a natural shift which was forcing employers to focus more on making sure that there are no COVID spread in the mining sector, which unfortunately, at the detriment of occupational health and safety, then this shift led to some less focus on those areas. The reason, again, what we have also noted during this summit is that because all of us, we were so concerned that mining being a very labor-intensive sector, the dangers of having miners coming back to work, as we were now allowed to start working, was going to be dire if measures to try and limit the exposure relating to COVID was not focused on. However, we have also realized that with the vaccination programs that have been rolled out, we have seen an improvement on the numbers relating to COVID. Hence, we had to recommit moving forward on how are we going to address issues of health and safety moving forward. And the commitments that were made during this summit between all the stakeholders, as convened by the department, was to ensure that there has to be an adoption of safe leading practices, such as collision prevention systems to address transport-related risks, as well as mining with nets and bolts to address falls of ground. We also committed that there has to be an adoption of technologies like faster rock drills to shorten the mining cycle as drilling outside the box cut, which will then reduce the risk to operators and then less time that they will spend on the face. And then the employers had to sort of put some commitment around the investment on how we are going to take the fall of ground action plan, which was launched in July of 2021. And the money also had to be put aside of about 46 million from the employers around dealing with the implementation of this plan. Because we have noted that falls of ground, they really need some more focus moving forward because things have not really improved. And another commitment that was taken during this summit was that we need to adopt safe mining practices, including the use of safe equipment to favorably respond to divergent challenges experienced by some of mining operators. Mm-hmm. Example of this will include diminishing of ore reserves, mm-hmm. aging of infrastructure, unfavorable commodity prices, and traveling long distances to the working areas. And lastly, we then also made a commitment that for transformation on health and safety, we need to focus on issues of safety campaigns. Safety campaigns is where between ourselves as the department, the unions, as well as the employers, we will then go to mines where we will engage with the mine workers directly, and also indicate our concern as to what is happening in the sector. This we believe that it will give an improvement and also show that we will not have a tolerance to unsafe behavior and encourage mine workers to be extra vigilant and help to implement strategies that will ensure that mine workers have skills and support to exercise the right to withdraw or refuse to work under dangerous conditions. And lastly, we also identified that effective supervision will have to be enhanced from the side of the employer in areas where people are responsible for these working areas. So those are the strategies that and the commitments that we have sort of agreed as the stakeholders. And honorable members, what is encouraging is that since that summit, We must, it might be still early. We have seen that there has been an improvement in the couple of 2 months at the beginning of this year. In January, where we had about a drop of about, when we compare the fatalities with the previous year, from 5 to 2. And then in February, we have also seen a drop from 2 to 1. Another thing that we have also seen as something that might have been giving a challenge with issues around the spike, it's also how we report in terms of our performance, because we report our performance on quarter to quarter. So the disadvantage of this reporting strategy is that during the time when there was less activities around 2020, there were less of diseases and injuries that were reported. However, when the sector started to go back to full capacity in terms of operating, we then started to see that when we are comparing periods which there were less activities to periods where there were more activities. However, with those issues, we still concerned that the fatalities that we are receiving are far more than what we would have planned to achieve, because our plan was to say over the years we need to reduce fatalities at least by 10%, which has not been the case. So that's what really has been the situation around the health and safety. But we are confident that moving forward, with the commitments and the strategies that we have committed to embark together with our stakeholders, there will be improvement, and we will go back to the ways that we were improving in the past. And thank you very much, Chair.
Thanks, Mr. Mbonambi, and thanks to the team for the responses. I'd like to deal with the issue of the licenses. I think it is true that we had a significant backlog that we reported in March when we appeared before the committee. We have dealt quite a huge dent to that backlog. In the 9 months to December, we adjudicated 1,011 prospecting rights, which was quite a significant number. And in as far as mining rights are concerned, we adjudicated over 303 to be exact. We still are dealing with the backlog. It's still there, but I think it's been significantly reduced on the mining side. On the petroleum side, again, we had reported a backlog. I must indicate that in as far as petroleum licenses are concerned, we are now on wholesale licenses back to the 90 days that's required by legislation. So we have eradicated that backlog. On the issue of inspections, the outcome, I think the level of compliance generally is high. We haven't had to issue a lot of Section 93s where we basically stop operations and make sure that the non-compliances are, are dealt with. So we are, confident that the level of compliance is fairly high. The one area where I believe that we need to focus now, not just on environmental compliance, is compliance with SLPs. I think going forward, it's an area that we are going to have to focus on, particularly be those areas that can make a huge difference to communities. On the issue raised by Honorable Mylem on how we report, I think the issue of reporting can be confusing. No target falls off. So if a target is not met in the first quarter, then there must be a catch-up plan in the second quarter. If that is still not enough, the relevant branch head has then to come up with a plan to deal with that. At the end of the financial year, there isn't any room for a catch-up, and where a target has not been achieved, then the relevant branch head will have to explain that. But we, as we indicated, we're confident that this year we will have outcomes which are better than the year in which there was a huge disruption in terms of meeting the targets. But I can assure the committee that no target actually falls off. With that, I would like to hand over to our leadership, the minister and the DM, as we have finished as a team. Thank you.
Okay. I want to comment only on one issue. That the deeper and the older the mines, the more dangerous they become, and more prevalence of rockfall is evident in the statistics. You'll find that many of the fatalities are from older mines that are deep and mining pillars. And it's an issue that we're focusing on. Yes, we're working very hard to reduce the number of fatalities. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. I didn't know this name, let me say it. Sorry, Mrs. Pamela, I didn't see that you were part of the meeting. I now know that the DM, as an extension of her name, she's Pamela. Welcome, DM, and my apologies for not recognizing that you were in the meeting. I see there's, before I go to the next, allow me, Honorable Member, so that I don't delay the meeting, and I think I must be sensitive to the issues that members have raised with regards to matters that relates to the SONA debate and the fact that they may have to go and prepare. Allow me, from a chair's point of view, that if there are issues to raise, first let me ensure that members of this committee, they participate effectively and fully, and then I can only do both when I finish. I see there's a follow-up hands of Honorable Mylem. Honorable Mylem, I will give you the follow-up, but also if you have any point with regards to the matter that relates to the implementation plan, I will allow you to do so. So you won't deal with if that hand that is up was for the follow-up. I'm also giving you the latitude to go to the next issue, which is about the implementation plan with regards in particular the issue of the AG. Is there any other hand, Honorable Members, with regards to the second presentation, which is about the implementation plan? From where I sit as a chair, I know if what I'm going to raise might take too long, so I'll put them together, which I don't think that it will be relating to today, but it depends. Can I look at, is there any other hand? I see the hand of Honorable Volmarans. We are dealing now with the implementation plans, but as I said, I saw Honorable Mylem's hand was up Kudalu. Is there any other hand? Why drop her? Honorable Volmerans, I thought your hand was up. Is there any other hand? Any other hand, honorable members? I see honorable Malinga. Go one, two, three. Okay, it means we've got only three hands. Honorable Mylem, honorable Volmerans, then it will be honorable. Okay. Yeah, honorable Mylem, honorable Volmerans, then it will be honorable Malinga. Those are the three hands that we have. I will come after honorable Malinga.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, my first follow-up question is to, my first and second follow-ups are to Mr. Mbambo about the role of nuclear in South Africa. I wonder if we could get some estimation as to the overnight estimated build cost of a 2,500 megawatt nuclear plant and how long that would take. So I'm looking for, in today's terms, how much would it cost and how long would it take to build a 2,500 megawatt nuclear plant? Then this is more of a comment rather than a question. He referred to the recent EU Commission taxonomy on classification of nuclear, saying that it was green power. And what he didn't say, and I think it's a bit disingenuous to rely on that, he said it was a global trend or a global indicator. It's not. It's one region of the world that has made a recommendation that nuclear should be considered green. But they're very careful to state in that taxonomy that a nuclear plant would only be considered green if the site can safely dispose of high-level waste permanently. And currently, there is not one permanent waste disposal site anywhere in the world. Vaalputs is only scheduled to start accepting high-level waste in 2050. So this is a concern. You can't say that this taxonomy means that nuclear power is green, because it's not. Lastly, with regard to this particular issue, the EU taxonomy has not yet been approved. It's been proposed, but it has not yet been accepted by the EU Parliament. And there is strong opposition from several EU member countries, including Germany, Denmark, Norway, Sweden, and Austria. So I think we need to be very, very careful about saying this is a global indicator when it's not. Then, Chairperson, coming to the AG implementation reports and the actions that have been taken, I just want to highlight the fact that despite the fact that it's recorded in this report, we have not yet seen NEXA's audit report for 2019-20. I think that's the right year. We haven't seen the latest audit report. So as a committee, I think that we should have that tabled in Parliament so that we can do effective oversight. Secondly, it's very difficult for us to conduct oversight over the...
Sir, can you repeat that part? Yeah? I don't want us to pass something if it... talks about what should be a responsibility. I'm not putting you on the spot. I didn't hear.
Sure.
Yes. I said that
we have, as a committee, have not yet seen NEXA's audit report. We considered all the other entities' audit reports, but NEXA, which is one of the ones that is finalized now, we have not yet seen. So it's very difficult for us to comment on the implementation plan against that audit report when we don't know what the issues are in that audit report. And I think we need to urge the minister to table that report as a matter of extreme urgency. At the same time, it's very difficult for us as a committee to conduct oversight over NEXA and CEF when we haven't seen their APP and budget proposals. We don't know what they're spending their money on. We have no idea what their plans are for the year ahead. A couple of weeks ago, Minister Mbalula announced that the SFF was going to install a regasification plant at the port of Durban. And I can't remember if it was Durban or Nuka, but anyway, that SFF was going to build that regasification plant, and at a cost of a billion rand. Now, I don't know anything about that. It's the first I'd heard of it was when Minister Mbalula said something about it. This is the kind of thing that we should be able to drill down into as part of our BRRRs and our oversight mechanism when we're doing the budget planning, and yet we are unable to do so because we haven't seen those documents. Thank you, Chair.
Babu Volmaraz.
Thanks, Chairperson, once more. Chair, let me abuse this opportunity by just getting a small follow-up on what Honorable Masaule had to say regarding the solar geysers program. Look, we all accept where we come from with this issue, linked to it, Chairperson. I did not hear much about this program and the previous links that we had with the municipalities. And now that we are dealing with the district model, I find at this juncture, which might be an issue that can help in making sure that we get rid of this problem and proceed. And on the same note of the districts, if I can just get a clarity on the issue of the implementation on interventions, where it is mentioned around the Bojanala district and interventions, if I can just get clarity on that. But coming to the AG's findings and issues that are not yet resolved, the department oversees the 11 SOEs, and in the main, the two are in the red. Though NEXA previously had about 160 in the 2019-2020 findings, you have 63 in 2020-21. It is a big improvement, Chairperson, a huge improvement, though it is still in the red. Now, the slide that depicts the 31st December shows six unresolved findings. And there's the part that deals with the EMBER, where they don't have anything that deals with how they are currently solving there's a dash that shows that they have the six unresolved, but there's nothing happening to whether they are working on the six unresolved findings. And what would the impact of this be in the current situation or in the future with regard to the AG's report? How and when are these going to be resolved, if they are going to be resolved? And if these are resolved, are we likely to have a positive AG report or a positive direction for NEXA? Also, looking and checking on what Honorable Milam has just said, without the necessary detail that we have, that we must have on both the entities, it's difficult to delve deeper into them. But I just, the highlight of the six unresolved and nothing that is being done on it, and what the impact of it in the current situation and in future would be. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Let me thank the Minister for making it simple, or making me understand the issue of fatalities in the mines, and all the story that I just heard, that the deeper the mines are, the more fatalities we are going to get. But Chair, I'm also not happy with the issue that employees are supposed to not work when in a dangerous environment. How is that possible? How is that possible when there is so much high unemployment in the country, do you think somebody who's working for his kids in that mine will say, when the bosses who are just after profit say you go and work there, that person will just say, no, I'm not going to work there? I don't think that's the proper response that we're supposed to be getting. Chair, I am also lost on the issue. Maybe it's because I'm not an accounting guru. You see, when you align something, you make that thing to be coherent. And when you understand, those are two different terms. I still don't understand the explanation of the CFO. And as far as this understanding has been specified, it's CGS, it's a MinTech, I can't remember the other one. It seems as if, or maybe it's the wording, and I'm not also an English expert. Maybe it's the wording, Chair, that the narrative that is put there, that CGS has understand on water, whatever, MinTech. You see, when you say understand, you must be specific. They understand on this one, not that you are aligning the transfer. Those are two different things to me, Chair, which I don't understand. Maybe that is why the department has the unqualified with findings. It's because of the wording that is being used in their explanation on the money spent on transfers and everything, how they are dealing with their finances in the department. Maybe that is why in three consecutive years they are getting unqualified with findings. It's possible that is the same findings that I am seeing on the narrative that they are giving to us. Chairperson, let me also, I think I heard Mr. Mlauzi saying the three entities, which is SDT, SANEDI, and NARWADI, also they don't have that means they got clean audit. I think we need to applaud that one. I concur with the Honorable Malem and Honorable Volmarans on the issue of Nexa Chair. Can we see those that audit outcome of Nexa so that we do a proper oversight on that entity? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Honorable Minister, let me make your work a little bit difficult. And I know as a veteran politician, you can bear that brand from me as a chair. Now, don't put a grievance. I'm in charge. I'm the chair. No, I'm joking. No, look, I think it will be much better. I want you to have a take on the issues. First, I think let's agree, Honorable Members. Yes, the issue of the SAF, the audit outcomes or the outstanding audit outcomes, both presentation by the AG and the two entities as well as the department is in the program of the committee. We adopted it, is contained there. And I think Honorable Members might be having the justifiable reasons to say some of the issues that relate to the those two entities, let's park them aside. They can only become more relevant when we deal with the audit outcomes, including the issues that relate to also outstanding issues with regards to turnaround strategies, as well as the processes towards the, especially on SAF on the measures. All those issues are contained, Honorable Members. If members agree with, can agree with me, let's accept that we will deal with those issues when we deal with the program with regards to what we identified on them. Then I wanted to go to the issues that we raised. And the reason I'm saying on a serious note, Honorable Minister, is that there are things for me which I'm not sure whether we can finalize today, especially on the genuine concerns that members had raised regarding across the spectrum. Is it possible to, let's just deal with the first, second, and third quarter program. I intend, Honourable Minister, to say, even if we don't resolve today, let's find a way from the department where we can talk. Ari, can you fly to the first, second, and third quarter reports?
So what the presentation said?
Yes.
It did.
Please. But once Ari is trying to do that, I'm worried. Let me leave. I will come to the issue of the what is contained in there. But I think this one will need to be clarified. Okay, yes. Let's go. You can just go past this. Now pass this. Yes. No. Go back. Yes. No, go back. Yes. Now, can you go back again? No, go back. Go back. Yes. Go back. No. Okay. Let's go to the table. Yes. You see, I want to check on the presentations. Let's take so that you can understand why I'm saying maybe we might need, because we have a duty. What do we define as minerals and petroleum regulations? It actually means is a development of regulations. And when you look at that, and if we don't do our work, we run the risk that we flash through things for the sake of it. On the first quarter, it says 12 on mineral regulations. But let's start even on corporate services. It says 1. Then it says achieved quarterly, 0. And then it says partially, 1. Now, if we can't get a sense of what does 1 mean? Does 1 mean appointment or something different that we don't understand? Mineral regulation, does it mean what type of regulations that will constitute 12 and the target met is 7, but partially achieved is 5? Let's look at mineral and energy policy development. Before we go to what was contained as notes, just first quarter, you can take other quarters. If one were to say policy, does it mean there was a development of policy or regulation that constituted 9? Either it's an amendment or it's a new developed policy. Same thing with 6. Now, these are the things that we will require before we come to the total conclusion of what would have been the target, which is 59 and 68. Let's just think for us who are members of parliament, who are not working on daily basis, our own oversight must understand the meaning of that exercise. If it's something that we can get. Let's go. Then let's go to the next one. Ari. Now leave this one. Yes. Now, if we were to say a total of 10,000 households were electrified, I assume it's supposed to say within the grid. I wouldn't know if I stay in KZN. If you can't tell me which of these areas constitute the 10,000 households, I wouldn't know. So that is another thing, because it's a duty and a responsibility to know even the nature of that electrification to the grid. What form does it take? We don't want to assume, for instance, for me, I wouldn't want to assume that that 10,000 is only on one province. If it says in KZN, it must then be able to, or Eastern Cape, it must then be able to break down according to the districts and then according to the municipalities. And I will come from Babumpele on why I'm saying maybe that's what is from a committee point of view we have to get. Then there was somewhere where now let's go to the bullet. It says 1,508 jobs were created through issuing of mining rights. Now, if you can explain to me how that has happened in a quarter, 1,300, it might be able to say that 1,300 jobs, 1,508 jobs were created. It must be able to state where. Now, I can't get a sense here that 1,500 were created because mining rights were issued in 5 or 10, which employs in this nature, and therefore we arrive at 1,508. Unfortunately, the paper does not refuse what is written into it. Now, it says black industrialists were also created. Now, if there are 13 black industrialists that were created, how and where? In what field? I see the environmental what, and then it says, now let's look at the 1,508 vis-a-vis the bullet before that. It says a total of 352 license applications were processed. And then it says there was 323, which constitute 91.76% compliance with black. Now, will I be correct if I say that 352 is in relation to the 1,508 above mentioned? And if so, in which areas? Then it says, when you look at it says license applications were processed, 352. Below it says 37 mining rights and permit were issued to HDSA. Does that mean that 37 mining rights and permit on HDSA is in relation to the 352? And if that is the case, why then it would say 323, which constitute 91.76% compliance with respect to HDSA participation? I can't find the sense. And if there can be clarity on that, let's go to the next page. Now, look at the 70% of authorization applications processed. 5 nuclear, 70% of what? It then says 5 nuclear safeguard and 3 nuclear security. I don't see what it says there. Now, the last bullet on this thing, it says out of 239 invoices received, 224, that is 94% invoices were paid within 30 days. What is the nature of that payment? Let's go to the next one very quickly. Now, maybe you can assist on this one. Just the first one. It says the draft Mine Health and Safety Amendment Bill was not submitted to Cabinet due to what is the name? I assume to challenges of information on public consultation. I'm not sure. The last time I remember, the Mine Health and Safety Amendment Bill had gone through all these stages, including Cabinet. The only time I remember it was said to be, I might be wrong, please, I might need clarity. It was said that it had gone through NEDLAC, and NEDLAC had given their own opinion, and they needed to go to the committee of the director generals. And then it will be presented, it will then be referred to parliament. Can we get clarity on that issue? What is which? And if it says was not submitted to cabinet, then what is it that can be expected for it in order to be submitted to cabinet? And what are the next processes after that? This, I'm raising it in the context also of the increasing, if we're honest, the increasing of fatalities over a period of time in the industry. Let's go to the next one, Aaron. Now, let's leave this one of fatalities. Let's go. Now, now let's go past this. Okay, let's pass this. No. Let's go back. Let's take the last part, which is what I wanted to raise. With all due respect, Babumpel, we had a discussion with you, and I'll be honest. I spoke to, and I think that's the point that may have to be clarified. I spoke to the municipal manager, for an example, of Umgungundlovu district. And this is the point you were responding to with regards to Eskom. And that is Dr. Reinzob. Let me just explain what you forwarded to me with regards to Eskom. Dr. Reinzob says, and I'm putting it in writing, he says MMs are not aware of Eskom plan because they are doing this project in their own area of supply. They are not able to confirm. Don't you think that the problem is the fact that what Eskom is giving you has got no relevance in what is happening in the municipality? And what then is supposed to be the role of those municipalities? Because in my view, as long as there is no direct relationship both between the department, Eskom, and the district municipalities, we will continue to have this problem of silo working and being unable to own these issues. But I want, that's why I said maybe we need to come back if we are to supposed to play that role of making sure that they at a level of the committee, an oversight exercise. I'm worried, let me even explain here, if this can be clarified. In your response, Ubabumpele, amongst other things you raised, you say, in order to fast track, I may not be putting your words correctly, in order to fast track this process of the solar heat tower Giza program, you intend to appoint a chief director who will ensure that this process moves as fast as possible. I don't think we will agree. I can't agree from where I'm sitting. A chief director to do what you are supposed to be doing. Because fast tracking this, the issue of solar water heater program, it's a duty of yourselves as officials of the department. Now you employ this person, we finish the issue of the solar heater Giza program, it's on tap. What happens to the chief director? So I think for me, those are the issues that I said. I wouldn't want to delay the meeting. Maybe like members were saying, we must find a way where we say we will be able to go point by point so that we improve what we, in my view, I think it's a good service delivery exercise that we can take. I'm worried that in this report, first, second, and third quarter, nothing says about the licensing regime, in particular the SAMRAC system. 1 minute, the SAMRAC system is being changed. There is a delay in this, there is a delay in that, but there is an improvement. Does the report actually wants to say the SAMRAC system is performing very well? There is no need to relook at it. If it is not the case, where are we with regards to the process there are issues that relate to the targets. What would have been the targets with regards to the licensing? So I wanted to that's why I said at this stage I wouldn't want to delay the meeting on things that, in my view, we can get an opportunity to fine tune and be able to be on the same path. What are the processes with regards, for instance, beside the SAMRAC system? Very little is being said about the Quadro system. How does it work? It's Quadro allocations. How do they work? How have we performed? What needs to be improved on it? What are the challenges with regards to that? I would have appreciated to get those things. So that's why I said I don't want to wait for the issue with regards to the performance and the implementation plan with regards to the audit outcome. Let me leave it at that level. I just wondered if members agree that maybe we relook and rework on this matter, so that all of us who are at the same par on the pace and how these issues are supposed to be attended to. Accept my apologies, Minister. I didn't want to come back when you have already responded. If you feel that these issues, you can attend to them now. But my suggestion is that maybe let's consider them for a broader discussion where no members of the committee and the department will be under pressure for other assignments that they have at the end of the day. I'm giving you to you, Minister, and your team in the department.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me just comment on your last issues you raised. I think the team should understand you as wanting a detailed report, not a point by point report, which is in the report. Maybe a detailed report will help come close to satisfying your questions on a number of issues. I won't get into any, except that the difference between SDSA participation and ACA control is that if you talk of ACA participation, you will talk about the BE status of a company, which is predominantly not SDSA. When it is controlled, it means the ownership is predominantly SDSA. But let's leave that all and say to you, let's bring a detailed report on all these issues instead of a PowerPoint presentation that does put bullet points on the report. And I'm sure when we do that, maybe they will try today, we'll explain the what do we do with INEP program regarding ESCOM and municipalities. If municipalities, because they do ESCOM, they do in their controlled area, so we don't have any relevance, I think that is mischief, because ESCOM does provide services in municipal areas, and that municipality has a responsibility to understand service delivery. Let me leave that, but Chair, my suggestion is that let's go back and bring a detailed report on this issue. Now, let me go to a few issues before I give to the team. You know, Mr. Malam, want a bold cost of building nuclear. I don't want to describe that as disingenuous, but I don't understand it. When we start undertake any program in the department, we issue requests for proposals. First, request for information, then request for proposal. And the reason we do that is because we are testing the appetite of society and the market on that particular program. And costs get teased out in that program. When we approve bid window 5, we got an average of 47 cents. After a long number of applicants were received, but we took the least cost applicants having issued the request for proposal. Now, I don't know why should we do something different when it comes to nuclear and be able to give a bold cost estimate before we even start. It's actually a hostile question, Mr. Miller, in the sense that you are displaying your hostility to nuclear as a technology. And I think that is a dangerous approach for us as the political leadership of the country. And the question about the EU...
What is the order, Honourable Miller?
My question... Yes,
Honourable Miller.
Sorry, Chair. My question cannot be considered hostile. I asked a question for clarity purposes, and the minister is absolutely out of line to define it as hostile. I asked an estimate of build costs and lead times, and that's easily verifiable from average costs around the world. Now, if he can't provide that, he should say so. But to clarify it as hostile is casting an aspersion on me as a member. And frankly, that is unacceptable, Chair.
No, I thought what he said, and you can correct me, Minister, I thought what he said, I think. Now, what he thinks, it can't be. If you say, no, I'm not hostile, then the matter is closed. That's it. I thought he said, I think it will be hostile, or it is hostile. So if you say, then, no, I'm not hostile, then the matter is closed.
Thank you, Chair. The reality of the matter is that when we start the nuclear build program, we are going to issue a request for proposal and various bidders will bid for it. Only at that point can we talk about cost of building a nuclear plant. But at this point in time, if we want a general estimation based on world experience, then that's a different matter. But building a nuclear plant in South Africa will be preceded by a request for proposal, which will test the appetite and test the market. And therefore, people will make proposals which will include costs. Then we can talk cost of building a nuclear plant. On the EU recommendation, actually, the EU labeled nuclear and gas as part of the green transition. Germany resisted that. But as a result of that, France has announced its build program on nuclear. So the issue is, in the world, there is engagement on the energy policy. And I think if we enter that debate without polarizing it, we are going to get more results, and that's it. If there are countries that are reluctant, there will be countries that are reluctant, but EU has labeled, I use the term used, nuclear and gas as part of the green transition. Now, then I go to the SFF. I think it will be unfair of us, Mr. Chair, to come and answer questions on behalf of Malula, Minister Malula. It will be unfair of us. If SFS is going to build any program anywhere, again, request for proposal, environmental assessment, and all those processes will be followed through to do that. But we have been announcing to all of you that we have an intention to build an LNG complex in Kuha. If it can be fulfilled, if that is what Malula announces before he tells us, then it gives us hope that LNG complex will be built in Kuha, and that's it. But we can't be expected to answer for Minister Malula here. On the solar geysers, I think the issue that we should consistently include in our report is to put the number. How many of the solar geysers are on rooftops? You know, when we have a meeting in the department, that is the key question.
We inherited 87,000 solar geysers in storage, and we said any other proposal, wedding, good wedded, will not resolve the problem if we're not quantifying the number of solar geysers on the rooftop. And I think that's what we should have. The chief director issue chairperson is because the chief director was running that program has resigned. And I think we should just fill that post. It's a funded post, it exists in the department. It must just be filled. It's not creation of a new post for the solar geyser. It has been there. The last question. Refusing to enter dangerous work. You know, let me remind the committee members that in 1985, workers refused to enter dangerous work in Driefontein gold mine, and they were all fired. There was a mass dismissal. And that led to a massive strike demanding the right to refuse to enter dangerous work. One of the first legislations that were passed by this government, ANC-led government, was putting it in legislation that every worker has a right to refuse to enter dangerous work. And to me, that was a major breakthrough, and we should not water it down on the basis of fear. We should not do that. We should accept that we have achieved this. It's a massive achievement. And therefore, legislation is quite important, an empowering piece of work, and it should help us reduce fatalities. All we're saying, the number of facilities will not move on a straight line. They will go up and down, up and down. But our intention is to break the record of 51 facilities per annum that we achieved 2 years ago. And that's our intention. But ultimately, zero harm is the ultimate intention of the department. I thought I must deal with those, then leave the team to answer the questions.
Thank you, Honorable Minister. Thank you, Chair. As Minister has indicated, the Chair, on a number of these issues that were raised, we will come back with detailed report. But I think what I can indicate is that it was in the interest of managing the time. There is an annexure to the report which has got detailed performance information. So it indicates for each of the targets, each of the quarters, what was the target, what was achieved in that quarter. And we felt that if we go through that line by line, we may actually, impact the question time as well. I can give the assurance that these reports that are presented here are audited both by our a monitoring and evaluation, which requires portfolio of evidence before they are signed off, as well as our internal audit. And there is a huge reliance on these reports by the AG. And in fact, at the end of the financial year, everything that we report on performance information goes through the audit committee as well. So we can come back with then an explanation of each of the targets. And what we report here are those targets that are in the APP. I can also confirm that the NEXA report, yes, it is finalized. And I wouldn't want to then perhaps the chair with your permission to go through the findings, because the report itself has not been tabled before the committee as indicated. We've taken note on the issue of I think the minister has dealt with the issue of the of mine health and safety, and what we can undertake is that any information that we did not respond to here, we can respond to it in writing if a question before the end of this week, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Okay, if that is the case, I assume the authority has spoken. Honorable members, can we agree that what we will do, we will forward specifics to the department with regards to the first, second, and third quarter reports, as well as the issues that relate to the implementation plan, in particular with regards to the AHS recommendations, and then we'll reschedule the meeting to deal with those specific issues that will go even beyond the department to even to its entities, which is what we have done. Secondly, we will deal with the issues that relate to the two entities when we deal with them according to the program that is tabled in front of us. Is that an agreement that members will accept us to go through it? It means we'll have to continue to pursue this matter. If there are members who would feel that there are other issues that must be considered, we will deal with them as they are forwarded to us, or when we deal with the matters arising next week in our committee meeting. Can we agree on that one, Honorable Members? That we'll reschedule the matter with specific details, like the minister has given a commitment and the Ubabu Umar Kubel, that we look on the specifics for accountability measures. Do we agree with that?
Agreed, Chair.
Any seconder?
Second proposal.
Okay, we will forward the Honorable Minister. Can I take any last words from you, Honorable Minister?
Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, well, before that, I know you are in charge. I didn't hear the voice of the DM, whether it's really in the house. Can we just hear your voice, Honorable DM?
No, thank you so much, Chairperson of the
Portfolio. Oh, you want me to say Pamela?
No, I'm here. if you can call me Sheshi, I'm comfortable with anything, Chairperson. Greetings to the members of the Portfolio Committee, the minister, as well as the staff component from the department. No, we are actually committed to the decisions of the committee. We'll be looking forward to get those details that for us to be able to finish the Portfolio Committee with the details as per the request. Thank you so much, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, the Chairperson, Unobuhle, the Deputy Minister, is having the responsibility in the Ministry to monitor performance. Therefore, what we commit to do here is a duty to her to follow it through, but we are going to do that as a team. I'm very happy to have been here. It's always fulfilling to come to the Portfolio Committee. Sometimes you do it on the day of the debate in the House, but we come. What else can we do? If the schedule will be spread properly, we can get better results. I'm sure Mbonambi is going to explain one time that when you're mining stick sites, that those are pillars that are left when mining, we call them stick sites, the risk of rock falls is higher. Thank you very much. We appreciate every effort. We'll come back when we are called back and execute as expected. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Minister. Honorable members, can we now attend to the issue of the minutes? Ari, I imagine that
we stand released.
Now, if you want to excuse yourself, you are allowed, Honorable Minister, and your team.
Thank you.
Okay. But Makubela, can you remain? I know the minister needs you, it's just a request. Do you accept my request?
Yes, sir, I think...
Now, there's one issue I want when we finish, I want to address when you are present.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Okay, Ari?
The minutes of last week, the 8th of February.
Yes. Do you have the response? You must also be ready from the House Chair.
I do, Chair.
Yes, you, after these minutes, what will be it was, it's one of the issues that will be matters arising. Honorable members, can we go? Let's go to the scope below. We can go down, Ari. It's just the general things, the opening, number one, number two. We are dealing with corrections or amendments. 2.1, let's go. 2.2.